All right, welcome to the podcast. We've got Maddie back on as a guest, and she is coming fresh off of the Legends Championships, which is kind of a precursor to what will be the Masters Games now. So the Legends Championships is going to be taking over the Masters CrossFit Games this next season, correct?
Yes. The Bob Jennings and Joe Litton run the Legends Championship, and they were approached by CrossFit this year to take over the Masters portion of the games. And they really went all out this year to prove that this is going to be a really good thing. So this past week with them, Bosman was there, Castro was there, like they all worked really well together, and they're going to really, really do up the Masters program really well. So
I'm excited. I know you had talked about that actually, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago, where that was the goal for the organizers of that, of that competition. And I've been to the CrossFit Games to watch, and what would be unfortunate would be the Masters would be like literally in the parking lot sometimes. You know, they would have, it was always kind of a off to the side type of thing. And then typically when I would get to actually see the Masters, it was their final, you know, they bring them into the tennis stadium, or they bring them into more of a center stage for their final event, but they weren't featured. You had to really, you know, be searching internet streams to find it. So if that's something you're interested in, they're going to be, you know, they're going to have their own thing. It's going to open it up now to where like 10 people, I think you use the term showcase more so than a competition. And I agree 100% with that. 10 people is not, doesn't make for a really fun competition to watch.
No, no. And it's really unattainable. It kind of downplays your excitement for the Open and quarterfinals because you're like, what is the chance that these workouts alone are going to be what I can use to get in the top 10? Because that's really what it all comes down to. And then if you are fit enough to stay in the top 10, I can name multiple people that would make it 1 year and not the other. Yeah. And that's just, it's frustrating.
Yeah. I don't, that narrow of a field in online competition, I really don't like either, where you're sort of feverishly doing workouts multiple times to gain a second or two to try and get a qualifying spot. And it's not live. It becomes this weird videotaping game of doing workouts. Okay. I'm going to like set it up. Oh, I'm going to back out of the workout.
And, right.
Okay.
Right.
Now, you know, that's not really what, that's not sports.
No,
really.
No, you don't get to practice usually.
No. So I like opening that field up. Or are we going to be looking at 20?
40.
40, yes. 40.
So we're going to have a very, very nice spread.
Is that per region?
Per age group, yeah. Okay, I think the older ones, like you're looking at like maybe 55 and over one, it like kind of eases down to 30 to 20.
Okay.
But so does.
Okay, per age group, like worldwide.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's not, I mean, I guess that's what everything, right?
Then. Yeah, yeah. But it triples the playing field, which is nice.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. And so, you know, I think the next thing is we're going to start, you know, getting Dave going here again and see how those new.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll
ignite a new passion.
Yeah.
An old passion.
Maybe. So let's talk about the, you know, how the whole thing went. I was watching most of the streams of the events. You know, the first one I watched was the swimming event. You looked incredibly comfortable in the water. That was really cool. You were unbroken and smooth. And then everyone we could see around you, you just kept pulling away.
That's the nice part about, I grew up swimming, teaching swimming. I'm very comfortable in water. My technique is very good. And to be very honest, I didn't get in a pool one time before I went to this because it's hard. You don't know what the workouts are going to be. Yeah. And I just kind of banked on the fact that most CrossFitters are just nervous in water. The technique's not good. And if I'm comfortable and I can just sustain, that's what's happened. You just start lapping people. There were some really good swimmers there, which made it a lot more fun. But that event was probably the most fun. I just felt really calm and relaxed. And you got to kind of see, like, get a little bit of confidence before you got going. And the place where we had it, Arizona State University, it was just awesome. Like the gym where all the CrossFit indoor events were right next to the pool and just back and forth. The setup was great. Outdoor,
really cool.
Heated pool, palm trees. Mm-hmm. Thank you in December.
Yeah, it was cold here. So.
Yeah. And that was a fun workout. They do a great job of easing you in as the week goes. They've figured out that I think masters can, under short time caps, really perform. So a lot of the workouts for that one was, I think, 9 minutes. We had 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 3 minutes. I think the longest one was 15. So, and they just throw you in that a little bit every day, and it gets tougher and tougher as the week goes on, but you feel pretty good. So the programming was really nice, and they took good care of the athletes there.
I was just going to speak to that. So what I liked about looking at the events and their programming for masters athletes, where they can showcase, you guys were doing, you know, lifting up heavy weights, performing really cool skills, but they were doing it in a fashion that, unlike the CrossFit games for individuals, you know, basically mm-hmm. under 30 years old, they're not just beating the crap out of you and testing, you know, they're not throwing you through a full triathlon with flipping a pig, you know, across the football field.
Stuff you've never done. You don't practice until you get there.
Yeah. So they're letting you display all the skills mm-hmm. and everything that you guys train and work on in a way that is also going to allow you to maybe do it again next year.
Yeah. Yes, you know? Exactly. You're not trashed, which I mean, I was sore. I had a little bit of a low back flare up from just heavy weights all week and performing at max capacity. Yep. But overall, I mentally probably more recovering than actually physically, which is not a bad place to be after a week like that. And they, one of the last emails they sent out before we all left to go to the comp, he signed it and said, hashtag no machines. So if you noticed, there were only barbells and only dumbbells the whole time. And it was interesting to do that. I'm a machine enthusiast, I guess you would say. Yep. That's probably where I'm strongest. If people would ask, like, what are you really excited for? I was like, oh, give me a machine. You know, I'd love it. And so this was very classic CrossFit. You got to really, like you said, showcase some cool skills and mixed in with very classic things. There were light barbells, heavy dumbbells. We snatched and clean and jerked every day of some sort. There were complaints about that, but at the same time, it really was just testing everything that you've done from the time you started CrossFit to the most, high level skill you can do.
Yeah. I think too, if they want it to be spectator friendly, there's nothing worse than machines.
Yeah.
If you're watching someone row.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
A 5K.
No one wants to watch. It's not fun to watch even machines mixed into workouts.
That's a good point. And to get like spectator. Yeah. To get viewing.
Yeah. And even like some of the workouts where they're moving you like chess pieces help so much. Mm-hmm. So I think that they had some feedback on some of those workouts where you're just standing in one square doing stuff. It's hard to tell where you are.
Yeah.
Like just move forward a square, like maybe making floor space a little bit bigger, just spectating wise. Yeah. So hopefully they'll see a little bit more of that.
Yeah. Where they move that pylon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, to the point, I remember when we went to the games in 2015, when the team was there and they did Murph, and I was like, this is going to be a super boring workout. But the way they did it, you know, doing the run and then coming in the pull-up bar, they just advanced. Yeah. So you could see literally, you know, which horse was advancing until that final, you know, air squat. And then they took off running. It ended up being probably the most exciting event of the weekend, I think, just to the way they did it. And they set it up as,
it's almost,
you know,
like
for
a
spectators.
Game show or something.
Yeah.
It was really nice the way they did it. So
they started to figure that out. I know the first 5 or 6 years of the games, I mean, I remember one, and you did this event in the regionals. It was the hundreds. So you did like 100 pull-ups, 100 kettlebell swings, that whole thing. You're standing in one spot or just doing like 100 reps. And you, particularly back then, they had 60 people. And, you know, from 40 to 60, watching these people flounder through 100 reps of all these movements, and they're, you know, 45 spots away from qualifying, and it's one of the last workouts. The way that it was just the way they threw it in there, yeah. It was like, you know, the fourth workout of the week or weekend. I'm like, they're not doing this one right. I mean, it was a great yeah. workout. I actually did it in the gym, but yeah. It was not a spectator friendly workout.
I think as an athlete too, you can also see where you are in relation to everyone else in the race too,
because
you're only counting your own reps, or the judge mm-hmm. is counting your, like, you have no idea what anyone else is doing. But if you can see that they're getting ahead of you because they're moving spaces by repetitions or completing an exercise, yeah. you're like, oh, I better hurry up. Yeah. So I think it's better for everyone.
I think so. It definitely. And in this particular last year, I really had to work hard to hold my places, and you had to know where other athletes were. And you kind of look around, and sometimes I was way off and I thought I was way ahead or of somebody around me or vice versa. But it is, if for an athlete even, you're like, oh, if that person's up there, or you can see they're taking a break and you kind of know where they are, you can take a breather and be like, as long as I pick it up before them, I'm doing good. And you can save yourself a little bit. So for an athlete and a spectator perspective, that would be huge.
I would imagine it's like in the gym too, where even if, you know, if someone who's like winning, you know, they're kind of out of reach, but there's going to be someone in that heat that you can kind of race.
Right.
And that's going to help push you, where if you just have no idea, you're just kind of like, I think I'm trying as hard as I can. But if you have someone like right there with you, you're like, I'm going to hold on for five more reps, you know?
Yep. And that was a huge factor this weekend. And just, and being an athlete in general, you kind of have to know how to handle that stuff. And sometimes it is good to watch the pace rabbit in front and get motivated by that. And other times you need to see the girl that's struggling a little bit, and you'll be like, hey, I'm doing better than her. Are you a better hammer? Or are you a better nail at that point?
Sure.
I don't know. But to just see that as an athlete, it helps to really put your effort that you need to put out there in perspective. And sometimes you have that effort and sometimes you don't.
I wanted to ask how you prepared this year differently than like the previous year.
Yeah. So, in the past 2 years I did, this is my third year doing it, I didn't have all the skills I needed. So I would work really hard on them, but they were always like, fingers crossed, hope I can do a ring muscle up today. And in this past year, I just really had to trust my cardiovascular fitness, my strength. I put a lot of that aside and just said, you've got to get better at these skills, which is not what I enjoy doing. I don't know if anybody does.
No, but I don't.
I don't. And that was a sacrifice on one part, but it put me really far ahead. So I was just like, okay, in this next year, this is what needs to be focused on. So between weekly sessions with Dan, making sure that when I got to the gym, like there was a laid out, like, I don't want to snatch today, but I'm going to. I don't want to do ring muscle ups today, but you have to. And drills and just staying on it and not doing what you're drawn to in the gym was probably the biggest factor this year. And it really paid off, because
just watching you, it was really fun to see have those skills now.
When you get to that level, it's not only that you have the skill, but you can do the skill quickly, efficiently, and under high duress. I'm not quite there yet, but so much better than I was. Multiple comments from multiple people that have seen me in years past, like, really stepped up. So I feel like that really paid off. Also this year, like, the mental aspect of knowing that I'm over 40 years old and I can't go into the gym and do ring muscle ups every day because it tears me up. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't get that luxury of being able to lift heavy every day. Like, you see people, the young ones come in and they're just like killing themselves on the rings until they can do it. And they'll do it day after day after day. I tried that one time or multiple times, and it just set me back so far that I couldn't do anything. I was so injured that I couldn't even try. So really learning what my body responded to, how much I needed to recover before I hit two skill sessions a week. And that's about all I could afford at that point. And in the times I couldn't do that, finding another skill that hit something else or a heavier thing that I could do, and really figuring out for my own body how to stay in that and keep making progress and keep the reps as high as I could.
Yeah. And you've been working out for a long time. So, I mean, you really know your body, and it's fun to watch you just even in events, because I know how well you know your body and like when to turn it on, especially like those, the burpees in the one event, because you don't like short events.
Nope.
You like the longer.
Yeah.
And just to see you just be like, all right, screw it, I'm going all out right now.
Yeah.
But sometimes I wonder, like, Is it that like the 20-year-olds can do it, or they just will put their body at risk for injury where we're not willing to?
I think a little bit of both.
Yep. I was going to say that's both.
They're not. They'll go, and then, oh, their shoulder's out. Yeah. Oh, we're going in for a surgery. Yep. So, and I used to be much more careless with my body, where now I'm like, the worst thing I can be is injured.
Right.
So,
yep. No, 100%. So you learn a little and you live a little, and you just start to realize exactly what you said. That time off is so frustrating, and you just learn, like, if I can just stay under this threshold of just feeling a little beat up and know when to back off and know when to get out of that, so you never hit the big breaks. Yes. And also younger people hit those big breaks, and it takes a long time to learn from those big breaks.
Yeah, it does.
Like, you see a couple, get back in there, and I was probably at fault myself, where you have a big back injury and you're like, I'm back, and you just jump right back into everything. You're like, now my shoulder, because you took time off your back doesn't mean your shoulder's ready to go again. And so finally learning all that, and maybe it takes 42 years to learn that. I don't know.
Cheers to that.
But at this point, I think all of us can speak to this. It's, you almost win by outlasting.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to be if they have like a 70-year-old age group. That's what I'm going for.
Yeah. People are just like,
we're only deadlifting and burping. And
Yes, exactly. And you just look at the people in that age group, and they just are people that they're genetically blessed for sure, but they're smart and they've stayed in it and they just keep moving. And people are like, do you want to go to the games? And yes, everybody wants to go to the games, but you can't decide that in a year. You have to really think about what your body's going to do, what the events are, you can't speed up physiology, but you can stay healthy. And so if it's 45, 55, who knows? There's always those chances. And I think the biggest takeaway is to be patient. Brandon, everybody in here can attest to the person that joins CrossFit and says, I'm going to go to the games in 2 years. I've been very privileged to work with a lot of games athletes. And once they even just get to regionals, it takes 3 times to get out of regionals. That's 3 years. Once you're really good and you're at the games and you're like cut in the bottom 20, and you might get back, and it's a process. So really sinking into that and just being like, you have all the time in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about this next year? Are you going to take a little break from?
I haven't decided yet.
Okay. Yeah. I knew that was the plan going in, but I didn't know how you're feeling now.
Yeah. And I have 2 thoughts on that. And one is, I have a while to go. I think 45 would be my year to make a run at it. And how much mental capacity I have in it every year. But I also am super confident in that I'm not the person that's like, I'm not going to work out for a year. I'm still very driven. I feel very fortunate that I feel very healthy. And I think I'm just going to take every stage one step at a time. And if it's there, I'll do it, but I'm not going to force it and see where I'm at.
That's awesome.
Being good is being good too. So even if it's not strategically the right age, if it's there,
you can't just say that, right?
Well, I got to wait, another year until my age bracket comes up. You got to let it cook when it's going.
Yep.
I know the guy who is the Masters athlete who competes every other year and has won, I think, 2 or 3 times. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yes, but I do not know his name.
I can't remember his name. I read an article about him. I'm like, wow, this is really working. I think he's won the games 3 times, maybe 2, but he does a year, he takes a year off. He does a year, he takes a year off. So he's obviously having a little lighter year, and then he's like ramps it up for a year. And I'm like,
that's smart. Yeah.
Well, especially when you're in the Masters category, because no one's going to have a 40-year professional career in a high impact sport like CrossFit. Yeah. You have to be, it's kind of like the kind of output you're putting into it, even at the Masters level, it's like going to the Olympics. That's why I think it is such a, I'll look at guys like Ben Smith or Rich Froning, where I'm like, they're such anomalies because they lasted so long. Yes. And it's really not that long. It's not like they're LeBron James. It's like he had a 10-year career, that's not that long of an athletic career, but they're smoked, and I think it's downplayed probably how smoked they probably are from revving it up. And it's not just like, it's not a guy who's done the Open for 10 years. This is Open, regionals, games, Dubai, you know, all this other stuff that they're doing. They're doing all of this stuff. And you have to be smart. It's not 1 year. It's not 2 years that get you. I mean, you start compounding them. So yeah, some sort of strategy in, okay, I'm going to have a big year and then I might let off the gas where, I mean, you got, so you just took 20th and they're taking how many people to the games? 40. Okay. I'm not saying everyone did that, that right, is doing
right,
it.
Right.
But you were just out there with everyone who's going to be the top, being in the games, and you just saw where you're at. Yeah. So, I mean, this isn't a bad year to let it go.
Let it go, you know, and let's go.
And I still feel good.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
And to speak to your point about like, this is the Olympics.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I have a nephew that kind of sits around and pouts when he can't play a full basketball game. And I started to think about like, how many kids played sports and never once got on the floor, but they loved the sport so much. They kept going to practice and they didn't play varsity, but they sat at the bench all the time. Yep. They loved it. They loved it. They loved it. And I was trying to think about how to explain that to my nephew. And then I'm like, but I also have to explain that to myself because it's, and there were girls their first year here that were like struggling. Like I'm in 30th and it's a lot in CrossFit, big fish, small pond. At your home gym, your people think like you're beating them all the time and they're like, you're going to go win. And you're like, I was 30th.
Yeah.
But, and you can think that. Yeah. 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 And you can think that, but also you have to think on that Olympic level, like how many people, if you said I made it to the Olympics, you'd be like, oh my gosh. And they didn't medal, but how many people are under that make it? And I would be so impressed.
Yep.
So there's a little bit of a mental game that you're just like, don't beat yourself up, set your goals. What were you deficited in? Where do you need to work? But also really appreciate where you've been and what you did, because that 20th place doesn't sound like a lot. But when you look at who's around you and what it took to get there, everybody that was there should have been very proud to be there.
100%.
Yeah. And I worked pretty hard for that 20th. And that's to your point, too, like when to turn it on. This was the first year that I was like, I wasn't scared. I could go out and compete. I could look at the people around me and be like, I've got to hit this benchmark to get and stay where I needed to be. And it paid off. It was nothing to chance. I really mentally went into each one like, you got to give your all to stay where you are or to climb up. And that was something that I've never had the capacity or confidence to do before in CrossFit. And that was, it was refreshing, exhausting, but refreshing.
Yeah, that was fun to watch.
Yeah, you're competing at an elite level competition, a CrossFit Games level competition. And it's not the 12 weeks of focused work you just put in. It's the culmination of the last five.
Yeah.
You know, It really is. So hats off to you. I mean, you've just been very steady and consistent and not just your training, but lifestyle has to meet that and everything around it. You know, it's a lot.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. I don't know if so many people know how much just working with Chrissy Ermo. In a year, what she says no to, you know, like You think that going to the games, they're just showing up at the gym, they're going to come workouts in, they can go have beers on the weekend, but it is a lot of saying no. And some people naturally live that lifestyle. I enjoy lots of social things. I enjoy alcohol and going on vacations. And you really, your year becomes like, okay, I have this much time to do this. And then I've got to clean it up. And that there are so many other factors that come into this 1 year of prep that it just makes a big difference. And you really got to ride that line of like, what's too much and what's too strict? What can you get away with? And that there's another reason it takes 5 years to make it to a CrossFit Games, which we have regionals.
I just read an article to that point that was really interesting. This morning it was, the actors, they just made a movie, Zac Efron, and then the guy who, he was in Shameless, he played Lip in Shameless. Well, they all just bulked up to play wrestlers.
Huge. Yeah.
So the Von Erich brothers, who were big wrestlers in the 80s, and I know like most of them ended up dying from, they had some almost like family curse. But he was just speaking to the point, he's like, the hardest thing about this was just to rap, you know, especially actors who are famous, they literally are just going to huge parties with huge like spreads, food and everything,
drinks.
He's like, getting into this mentality, the hardest part about it was where all these guys did was lift weights, wrestle, and did nothing else. And like, and just all hanging out with like guys and just doing that. And he's like, but training for CrossFit is very much a similar lifestyle when you're training at this high level. And he's just like, he said, that was the biggest adjustment, just getting my, and that helped me like fall into this role and everything of like, just kind of this, like, we just do this and do this and then we perform and, I was like, but it reminded me of, the guys, like, I used to be on like the teams and do stuff like that. And it was just like, it was training. It was just a big group of us just training every single day for a couple hours. And then you said no to everything else on the weekends. You're just like, nope. And then you're just like laying, you're just trying to sleep as much as you can. Yeah. That's the part that is the hardest part. Another thing I just saw a couple weeks ago, an interviewer, it was in the 70s, asked Muhammad Ali, what's the hardest part about training? And he didn't say anything about training. He just said, staying away from the girls and the nightclubs and the drinking. He said, that's the hardest part of the training.
Fortunately, that's not all dangling in front of me in my glamorous life. Yeah.
But it's just to that point that is actually looks hard.
The discipline to say no.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The discipline to say no is oftentimes the hardest part. But, I want to kind of leave it with you. If you have anything to kind of add or say here at the end, I want to make sure you can get to your next appointment. I just wanted to make sure we could get in here today and chat about this.
I think I just kind of summarized a lot in the 30 minutes that we had, but definitely the support from this gym. I have to say that when I get out there, I tell myself, you work out with some of the best young athletes out here in L2 every day. There's nothing that was written down that you wouldn't write for us, that Drake wouldn't write for us. And I was like, they can't do anything. And just the confidence that gave me out there. And it was like, it's no different than that. So, I mean, your training and your programming has helped a ton. And it was just, it's a confidence boost. It helped me feel prepared. The fact that I really think that gyms that offer CrossFit personal training, like to work one-on-one with coaches, has changed my entire athletic career. Like the fact that Dan will work with me, Drake will work with me. You have taken time and given me tips. And there's just so much that becomes individualized. And if you're listening to this and you want to take this to the next level, I really encourage some personal coaching. This gym offers a ton. Of course, there's programming out. I don't even think remote is that effective. Get in front of somebody, have them challenge you, work on you, do the silly drills that they ask of you, and it really pays off. So nothing but thanks to this community and the support while I was there. So many texts from people, so many messages, the Body Biz, the affiliate, the gym, felt the love, felt the support. And it's also an accountability. Like you want to get out there and do really well for your home gym. Like it's kind of like your team. So I really appreciate all that from everyone. And it was a really fun experience and there's room to grow. So a couple more years.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Maddie.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.